You're listening to the Running Around Charlotte podcast, presented by the Novant Health Charlotte Marathon. One day, five events, with a race day distance for every goal and pace. Find out more or register at runcharlotte.com. The Running Around Charlotte podcast is brought to you by our partners at Novant Health Orthopedics. Runners like you are always on the move. Twisted ankles and broken bones can't wait, and neither should you. Novant Health offers walk-in appointments and same-day care at select orthopedic clinics to help you get back on pace. Visit novanthealth.org/ortho now to learn more. Now, here are your hosts for the Running Around Charlotte podcast, Tim Rhodes and DC Lucchese.
Maybe you've seen our next guest running around Charlotte. If you have, she was probably a blur anyway. Stephanie Pez-Pizzullo is fast, like Olympic trials fast, and she wants to help you be fast as well. But that's just part of the Pez story. There's running, there's family trauma, there's a dog, and more running. Stephanie, welcome to the Running Around Charlotte podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
It's so good to have you. For folks who haven't met you, give them a quick intro and we'll get into some details here in a bit.
Yeah. My name is Stephanie, but everyone calls me Pez since I was a child. So, it, you know, besides some select family members, it's Pez. That's at most. I can't shake the name. I've done sports my whole life, played soccer in college, moved to Charlotte right after that to play for the Charlotte Lady Eagles on what was the top pro league at the time, really got into running after that, and so lived in Charlotte and then also up in Boone. I trained with, at the time they were called Zap Fitness, now they're called Zap Elite. But it was an unbelievable training group program with all professional runners, and kind of led me on my journey to, you know, say bye to soccer and hello to the new sport of distance running. Very, very similar, soccer, but right? Very different.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, in a lot of those sports, you know, running is punishment.
No, that's exactly right. Like, all the girls at Penn State, when we had to do, you know, when we got punished, I had to get on the line and do sprints. I was okay. You know, that's my thing.
So. So you were originally just exclusively a soccer player.
Yep. Never ran in high school, never ran in college until soccer ended my senior year. It ended a little bit earlier than expected. We had made the Final Four pretty much every year, or Elite Eight every year, except that year we got, we were ranked like number one, but we had a horrible playoff game. So we got knocked out early and I had a whole month extra of school. And I was like, wait, what do I do without soccer? So I called up the track coach at Penn State and asked to try out. And I did indoor and outdoor track that year in 2005. Yeah.
So obviously women's soccer is in the fall. First semester, and so you transit. You're like, hey,
I got one semester left. I gotta keep myself busy. I like to run. At the time, my fastest mile I think ever had been like a 5:40 or 5:45, and they said I needed a 5:15. So I said okay. Let me train really hard for a month and see what I can do.
What'd you get down to?
At the tryout, I will never forget it. I ran, I went to Penn State and all the whole team was watching me on an indoor track and I ran 5:06. So they said, yeah, you're in.
Come on, man. Well,
that is fast.
That's a bit springy there. But before we even pushed the record button this morning, we were talking about, we haven't seen each other in a freaking hot minute.
Yeah.
And you've been back in town for, you know, 6 months now. Yep. And what brought you back to Charlotte?
Well, I had gone to Florida and I never really intended to stay that long. I thought I was going to stay. There's, you know, relationships going on that didn't work out.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a minute.
Oh my gosh, yes. What happened was I kind of, the training with Pez, the running business kind of just took off. There was no running coaches in Ocala. And I made such a great group of friends through both the running community and just around town. I just kept staying, and one year went to the next. And although I hated the weather, everything else in Ocala was great. And I still, you know, I still miss my friends tremendously. I go back and visit. I've already been back like three times. So,
but
at any point I knew I was going to come home to Charlotte. Charlotte had been my home. I have very close relationships here, like family. And, actually one of my best friends that I played with at Penn State, she lives here with her husband and kids.
No kidding.
And we played on the Eagles together. And so, you know, her and then another family that I used to live with, the Piedmontese, it was time to come home. I was ready. So I got a new soccer job at Charlotte Independent Soccer Club, where I got offered to be a director and a coach and took on the role. So it's been 6 months of... Yeah. It's been a blur. I mean, just it's busy.
Still go back to your first love, though. A great opportunity, right? And continue to run.
It is. I love coaching. Yep. Yeah. I love being competitive. And the club is 13,000 players. It's a big club.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Really big club. And they're growing, and they really just do a great job of spreading out. We have fields in the north and the south and the east and the west and Mooresville. And so if you're part of Charlotte Independent Soccer Club, you're part of something pretty big. It's very
What are the age groups? When can you start?
So they have like the recreation program, which is for any age. Then they have the youth academy, which is for kids under 10. Mm-hmm. And then competitive starts at around 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And it goes to about U19.
Yeah.
So, so my role is I coach the one of the higher competitive teams, and I direct the U11 through U14 girls competitive in North Mech. But then there's Mooresville, and there's South, and there's so it's a small role for a big company, but it's been rewarding, and there's no clubs like that in Ocala where I came from, so a little different.
I bet. So you still run?
Yeah. So, I mean, I really didn't run for a few years, and then this will bring me to 2018, right before Christmas. I was running on a trail in Florida. I had stopped competing professionally, and a dog just came right out of the woods. I yelled at the dog. I was just doing a run, just an easy run, get away from me, dog, where are you going? And it happened to be cold that day, and she followed me 5 miles back to my car. And I almost left her because I was like, I have a soccer job. I travel. I do this. I do that. And to make a long story short, nobody could take this dog. I mean, the humane societies were filled. The shelters were full. And so I was like, okay, I'll take her home to my condo. Well, the next day I go back to the Santos Trails and I'm like, go home. And I decided to just run longer and faster. Mm. You know, I mean, at that point, I had nothing to lose. If I was racing, it was just for fun, you know? Yeah. So she ran 14 miles with me. I was running like probably 6:20 pace. Didn't leave my side once. And so, the days are going by and I'm like, oh, any clients, you want the dog, any soccer people want the dog. Nobody wanted this dog. I was like, well, I'll foster her. So I've been fostering her for 5 years now. Yeah. It's been exactly 5 years. Yeah. And, she really, came into my life. And because I started to have this running partner, I started training again, and I ran a couple marathons and qualified for the Olympic trials in 2020 and got into the 230s again, and I felt good. Yeah. And so I went for the 2020 Olympic trials, and it was probably one of the best days of my life in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it was great. And again, I don't think that ever would have happened had I not found Santos. And, and then a lot of races preceding that and after that, just, winning some prize money again, getting into things and realizing that, I'm older, I'm almost 40, but I'm not that much slower. So I'm going to keep going.
Right on. Personally, I found kind of 40s were my prime.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know why. And maybe as training a little smarter, a little harder, just being more mature. But I never really felt like I was at my peak in my 30s. It was my 40s that I have my best times and that I felt the best.
Well, and that's the greatest thing about distance running. When I tell my clients that, is like, you can improve. I mean, if you're a gymnast, you peak out at 16. Yeah. But in distance running,
That's so much for that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a sprinter, you peak out at 20. But in distance running, you're exactly right, Tim. It is something that you can improve on because it's about the work you put in and the miles and the different workouts. And so, yeah, I have a lot of clients. I mean, gosh, I have a 76-year-old client right now that's still improving. You know, she started later. But again, right. You're exactly right. I mean, it is definitely a sport that you can see improvements and not decline as quick as you would in other yeah. sports.
Yeah, especially if you get a later start.
Yeah, well, that's exactly yeah, right. But, that's always yeah, helps, you know. And I think it yeah. helped that I didn't run in high school or college. I was yeah. not used to putting in all those miles or racing. It really didn't happen until 2 years after college when I started, you know, I was about 20, 23.
Burnout factor, right?
You I know, think I mean? See a lot of college runners who get burned yeah. out because yeah. you're doing,
for sure.
You're doing cross country, you're doing indoor track, you're doing outdoor track, and then you train all summer. And yeah, I mean, it's a tough schedule if you run in college.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back and ask permission to talk about something that you had some trauma
yeah.
Going to college. I haven't heard the story, so this is new to me, but I see it in the show notes and just
yeah.
wanted to, I know you might want to discuss that and just share that story with us.
Yeah, I had a real tough background, tough childhood. Still, my brother and I are still dealing, you know, kind of in survival mode sometimes to this day about it all. But I went to college on a scholarship thinking I could run away from it all. And just forget about it all. And as you know, that's kind of not the truth. But just all to do with my dad and kind of all the kinds of abuse you can think of from, you know, birth to teenage years. Both my brother and I struggled in different ways with it and have dealt with it in different ways. But thankfully, I did get eventually by my junior year started to kind of I would say maybe melt down or release more to my coaches at Penn State, and they were phenomenal. I hated them at the time, but they made me go to counseling and yeah. helped me to get better. I was okay on the soccer field, but I wasn't functioning very well for a long time. To this day, I'm really close to my soccer coach, my assistant coach, Melissa, who really kind of ignited the fire of let's help this girl. Let's help her get better and get past what she's going through. And she lives in Louisiana, and she's also a youth soccer director. So we are very close, and I just love her boys and her family, and her husband coached baseball at Penn State. So I see them a lot, and they've been a big part of my life in the last, since I was 18, so.
That's awesome. Yeah. Not the rest of you. No, know I mean? Yeah. When I say that, I mean that somebody, and that's the power of being a coach or a teacher yes. or a mentor or something like that, is to being able to have, yeah. you know, not only a group impact, but also a singular impact yes. that creates ripples.
Yeah.
After that, right?
It's amazing because yeah. she wasn't there my freshman fall season, but she came mm-hmm. in the spring, and I always knew it took me 2 years to open up to her, but I had in the back of my mind that this could be the person. This could be the person mm-hmm. that I finally talked to. And you know, she was an angel. God sends angels in our life, sometimes in the form of people and sometimes sure. in the form of pets. But
exactly.
It was kind of a, you know, an angel. And so the way she handled it was just spot on. I did not like the way she handled it at the time. Now that I look back as a 41-year-old, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, she did it right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you're still in touch with her now, which I think is just so amazing.
Oh, yes. Right? Yeah. I mean, she's coming here in May to do a marathon. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hang out. She came to my last marathon. But I also visit Louisiana a lot. It's only a trip, you know, an hour or two flight. So, and then she came to the Olympic trials, you know, she's definitely, her and her family, her boys, I've, just really kind of grown up with them. So yeah, she's like a big sister that I never had, you know? So now, I mean, you know, when you're 18 and she's 10 years older than me, I mean, you know, it was such a big age gap, but now it's at the point where like, we're friends, you know, it's like, yeah. You know, so it's fun when we hang out and you know, and she's also that person, even now when I struggle and go through stuff, her along with other people here in Charlotte, I mean, I can call, I mean, she's always a call away. She knows me through and through. So
I'm a huge believer in that half generational mentorship, if you will, the someone who's a little bit older, so they have a little bit more wisdom and experience in life, but they're not old enough to be your parents, right?
Yeah, because then such you hear that point. Message
and it's like, oh my gosh, it sounds like my dad.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. But
what a good point. Yeah.
Not just a peer who's like, well, I'm trying to get through life just like you are. Yeah. They're 10 years ahead and they've experienced some of that. And so I love that you found that connection. I think that's huge.
Yeah, and she's one among many. I'm not sure if you guys know Jim Revis, but I was, when I lived in Charlotte, very close to him, and he was a big cyclist guru here in Charlotte. Yeah. And another angel kind of sent along my path in 2007, and he passed away. Gosh, it's almost been 3 years now, but another just kind of grandpa type figure that filled a role that I never had.
Yeah.
Now, curiously, when you're out there, when you're doing your own coaching at either soccer or with, you know, with the speed work thing, we'll get into that in a minute too. Are you cognizant of the fact that any one of these individuals may be looking to me potentially, and I may be their person to come to?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just it. When you have a job like mine and you're coaching kids or you're coaching even adults, you know, I want to be that person that people feel like they can talk to and open up to. And that's really what I've tried to do for the last, I guess I've been coaching on and off now for, I don't know, gosh, last 15 years. And it's a role that, you know that some people, you because of what I went through, I know that some people are, you know, they don't want to talk about their issues and everything, but you know something's going on. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of bring it up in subtle ways. And, you know, they think, you know, it's just, I'm having a bad day in soccer or whatever. But sometimes I'll ask, well, you know, what's going on? What's going on in school? Did you have, you know, a tough day at school? Mm-hmm. Did something happen at home? And sometimes when you ask questions that aren't too intimidating, they'll start to talk. And that's definitely happened along the years. Yeah. So I've had some kids and even some adults that I've been able to, I think, help, I would say. I'm not sure save their lives or anything, but always trying to pay it forward.
Yeah, right on, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably one of those where they might not like the way you handle it.
Today.
Just like you didn't like the way
she
handled it, your coach.
No. And, no, she made me go to counseling and I wasn't allowed to play soccer until I talked and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Very good. So it's switching gears just a little bit. DC and I had an opportunity to be at the Olympic trials several weeks back down in Orlando.
Yes.
Men's and women's race going on at the same time. It was very cool.
Yes. It was so happy. I thought it was going to be a lot warmer because obviously I'm from.
Oh, it was great.
I know.
Plenty warm.
Usually, I mean, it's hit or miss in Florida, right? It can be.
Well, it's hit or miss anywhere.
Yeah, right. True. But January and February in Florida, it can be, you know, I had people do celebration marathon the week before and it was like 80 degrees and humid and I just felt so bad. They said, coach, I just wasn't, you know, so the week after was great weather and wow, what a performance. I was coaching soccer up in the Smokies, but I was able to kind of follow it through my friends. They were giving me some updates and everything. Yeah.
Well, it was originally scheduled to start at noon, but there was enough pushback from the participants and the organizers.
As they should have.
Because it was dictated by TV, right? It's like, we got a noon slot. So noon in Orlando in February can still be a hot day. But I had the pleasure of driving the press truck for the women's race, they call it the women's package.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good, eventful race. You know, they were all together as a pack. And all of a sudden, man, she just put the hammer down and at like 17 or 18 miles somewhere
this
along
is
there.
Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl that won.
Yeah, Dakota. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, she was gone.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing that I learned after that was her first marathon.
Yeah.
She qualified on a half marathon time. And she set an Olympic trials record for women.
Yeah.
And as best I could tell, she wasn't taking fluid the last several miles and she wasn't taking the sponges or anything. She was gone.
Yeah. And I mean, you see these people, these women and men who've never run marathons, but I feel like they don't have that pressure on them. It's almost like, well, it's my first marathon. So she had nothing to lose. She had nothing to lose, along with her being very talented and fast. And, you know, I was going for Sarah Hall because she has been, you know, in the running scene since college.
She's a sentimental favorite.
She's just, she's absolutely amazing to be running the times she's run and winning major marathons. Of course, I would have loved for her to make the Olympics. I followed her and her family for years. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the top three made it, and it was, it's always going to be on race day is just always, it is what it is on race day. Yeah, that's what I've learned. You can be the best on paper. But when it comes to race day, things change.
Yeah.
But Dakota was also on a panel, remember, just days before at Running USA. And she could not have been a more gracious, at that point, we didn't know she was winning the thing. Right, she's on a panel. She's the most, you know, aw shucksable, you know, laid back kind of. Wow, what a delightful person she is. Yeah. And then 2 days later, she's pounding. She's you're like, not, oh my gosh, wow, that was amazing. What a thing. But the point of that whole setup was, it's like, I am always wowed by the, I guess, the humility that, especially on the ladies' side, and Tim and I talked to a bunch of them in the Dern lobby at the hotel and stuff like that, and they were all like, oh, yeah, you know, we're just, you know, doing a thing tomorrow and this, that, and the other. Oh, you're like, I'm surrounded by the fastest women in the country right now.
It's so
and
cool.
Y'all are like so super chill and, oh, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Hell, half of them were moms. Some of them had their kids with them. They were all like, ah. Nothing
but
to
it. It goes to show you this is why they've made it that far.
Well, that's a fair point.
Because I feel like there's runners out there that don't have that humility and are too anxious or worried about it, and they don't make it that far.
Yeah.
You know, they never make it to that next level.
What do you think it's going to take for men and women really to contend for Olympic gold and even some of the world marathon majors titles, the major events? You know, it seems like it's kind of hit or miss, but by and large, it's the Kenyans and the Ethiopians that tend to finish first. And but what's it going to take for the Americans to get back on the podiums on a regular basis? Is that a fair question?
It is a fair question. And gosh, I think we've done well. We're up there.
Yeah.
We are up there. I mean, we've gotten bronze medals. We've gotten silver medals. I mean, Meb in, what year was it? 2012, he won the silver. Is that right? Yeah.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah. So you want my honest answer. It's going to take us being born in Kenya and having no shoes growing up running on our forefeet. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we will ever, I think there's going to be individuals who will catch up to those speeds. You know, you look at the body types of Kenyans and Ethiopians and, it's just different. We are just born all different. We have different genetic factors. It's not to say that there is not anyone in America who cannot be faster than Kenyans and Ethiopians, but as a whole, we don't grow up in the same environment. We don't have the same bone structure. And to be honest, a lot of, I think a lot of Kenyans and Ethiopians, you know, they're kind of, if you wanted to use the term, they're born to run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean,
part of it is a genetic factor, if we're just being honest.
By and large, the men are probably in the 130 pounds and have, you know, big hearts, and the women are smaller than that. And,
so, whereas here in America, you can be as skinny as you can be, but you still may, as a man, you still may weigh 140, 145 pounds. If you lose any more weight, you're going to be unhealthy.
Yeah.
But because our bone structure is just bigger and our musculature is different, that's kind of a reason, I believe, if I go back and look at, you know, all the major races.
There's also probably some cultural factors,
absolutely,
too. Like, there are sports that we participate in as kids before running. Soccer
it's a combination
is a prime
of
example,
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're not running from childhood.
We're playing soccer, we're playing flag football, we're playing basketball.
Basketball,
I mean, you know, the
baseball,
are some of our best athletes just simply do other things where I think as in, you know, some other countries, running is the main thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what do you got going on next?
So as much as I would have loved to qualify for the Olympic trials, I did try. I ran 240 in Philly, and you needed, a 237 this year. They had cut it from 245 to 237. And then I tried again, but was unable. I only made 21 miles on pace. And Pete Ray from Zap really helped me to kind of even get to that point. But I just realized with soccer and running, I didn't have time to put in 80, 90, 100 miles a week. The training was just subpar. You know, I'm just not at that point in life. So gave it a whirl, you know, and after, you know, after Philly, when I missed it by 3 minutes, I said, oh boy, I think I just need to kind of, you know, take a step back and focus mm-hmm. mainly on work, which I've been doing. And now I guess for about, it's been about 2 months, I started to get back to the track. And it's been really fun. Mm-hmm. I realized when you're trying to train for something shorter, mile, 2 mile, 5K, it doesn't take as much time. So I can,
oddly enough,
I can wake up, you know, do a short 45-minute to hour workout, be back at the house and ready to, you know, make my calls. And then soccer's all night. And then, you know, I can maybe get a light run in after soccer, but I don't have to put in 100-mile weeks.
Yeah.
And then when I'm at soccer tournaments on the weekend, I don't have to worry about 22-mile long runs. I can run 8 miles, you know, and it's not ideal. Of course, I wish I could run more sometimes, but what I've learned is that, you know, sometimes you have to have different goals and change things up. So I did actually, race in the 1500 and 3K about a month ago on the indoor track. And it went pretty well. So I decided to go to the, let's see, what is it called? USA, the National Indoor Masters Meet, which is in March 23rd.
Right on.
Yeah.
You can claim masters now, right?
Yeah.
Now that you're in your prime.
Right. So, my goal really is to win. I won't lie. I want to win I'd love to do the 3K and the mile. But I have a soccer game that Saturday, so I can only do the 3K on Thursday, but I'm going to do the 3K. Oh, I want to win. I'd love to get the national master's record, which is 9:47. You know, that may take, need a little more training for that since I'm going from the marathon to the mile, but you know, I'll try my best to kind of get that record and, you know, kind of go from there. The World Masters Championships happen to be in my hometown of Florida next year.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's cool.
And the Masters community is just growing a lot. The one meet I went to was really fun. You got a lot of people, for indoor track, they allow you to be 25 and older. So you have a lot of people that come out and race.
Oh, come on.
You still 25
for indoor track.
Oh, okay. I'm like, holy car wash,
yeah.
Man.
Outdoor. Yeah. I think outdoor track and all the road races, Masters is considered 40.
Right. I was like, hold on, man.
Yeah. So I'm 41. So yeah.
You got that part.
Do you still get butterflies?
Yeah. Well, I actually really did for this one because all my friends came to watch from Ocala, right? It was in Gainesville.
Yeah. No pressure.
I had 10 of my best friends there. Oh, man. And they watched me race the mile and the 3K, or the 1500 meter and the 3K. And they had signs and they were cheering me on. And I was like,
that's awesome.
You know, I said, you know what? I might as well try my best here. And of course, when you try your best, it's painful in those events. I mean, they're short, but hurtful. I mean, they hurt.
That's good. Hey, real quick before we let you go, you and Lisa Landrum have a thing going on.
Yes.
Not that. We don't want to start rumors
wrong
here
with that. Oh,
No. Yes, she is amazing. So I moved to Charlotte. We had kept in touch. She was a client of mine years ago. She said you need to do Around the Crown 10K. I did Around the Crown 10K, and that was fun. It was, you know, refreshing to be able to run around Charlotte in the city. And we connected after that. And so, I've been working for her as a run coach. And we started doing clinics in January. The last one got canceled because of the weather, but we're going to have another one Monday, March 11th at Myers Park Track. And we had about 30 people the first time, and it went really well. I feel like there's a lot of people that don't, that they think track and they think, I can't do it, I have to be fast. And that's just not the case.
It's the other way around, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you want to be fast, you need to go to the track.
So I did is, you know, I had 5 sample workouts so that they could pick from. And, you know, some of them were, you know, the run walk types, and some of them were just 400s and 800s, and others were more for half marathon and marathon type runners. And really they could pick from whatever they wanted and do it at their own pace. You know, if you want to kill yourself on the track, here's a workout for that. If you want to just ease into it and go a little moderate, here's a workout for that.
That's awesome.
And it's cool because we're all in one one place. So yeah, sometimes you have clinics at parks and greenways and you can't see each other. It's like, oh, bye, see you later. But, you know, we warm up together and all of that and do some drills and then everyone's on their own, but but together.
Love it.
Well, cool. How do we get in touch with you?
I can give you my cell phone right now.
I mean, if we want the coaching and all that stuff and follow you along. You know,
So the Forward Motion website, all my info is on there. It's www.forwardmotion.com. And then I'm on Facebook as Stephanie Pez Pizzullo. And anybody can message me there. And then I'm on Instagram, not as much. I'm not huge in social media right now because I'm so busy, but I am on Instagram at it's at Pez Pizzullo.
P-E-Z-Z-U-L-L-O.
P-E-Z-Z, and then Pizzullo is P-E-Z-Z-U-L-L-O.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two L's.
Basically my name.
Right, exactly.
At Pez Pizzullo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You start throwing some letters together, it'll probably come up. Mm-hmm. Google it. We'll put that there.
Just Google.
Just Google it.
Maybe just Google Pez and Santos and you'll find her. She's been in the articles way more than me.
Oh, man.
That dog. She's a famous one.
Well, welcome back to Charlotte.
Thank you.
Delightful to speak with you today. Yes. And we just wish you the best.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed my time back home again. And I'm about ready to go run with some old friends that used to live here. So it's a win-win.
All right. Thanks, Pez.
All right. Bye.
The Running Around Charlotte podcast is presented by the Novant Health Charlotte Marathon. Running Around Charlotte is produced in partnership with Well Run Media and Marketing. New episodes are available every week, anywhere you listen to podcasts.